like to take up, as you said from a couple of weeks ago, Chedoshim and the Ramban, the famous Ramban on Chedoshim. And this time when I went over, I saw something seems appears to me to be very significant, and something the Ramban is saying that I think most people simply overlook. Okay. The Ramban is really positing an important principle, an important yisoda in Kol HaTorah, and I think it's something that when you read the Ramban, you just, you know, you don't really catch on to what he's getting at. Ramban is writes in a very heavy Russian, and you know, where he is coming from, many times, you know, it's difficult to grasp until you really think into it. And this year, when I went over to Ramban, I saw something that appears to me to be new in that Ramban, and I think it's something that's often overlooked. All right, so the Ramban is on the Pesukim in the beginning of Kedoshim. It says, Dabar al kol adas bnei Yisrael, Dabar al kol adas bnei Yisrael, amata olayim Kedoshim tikkun. Okay, and you should say to them, you should be hope. So first let's take a look at this Rashi. So Rashi says, Malame Shinemra Parsha Zubahakel. Nishirov Gufe Torah Twinba. So Rashi says that this parsha is unique. That this whole parsha was said Bahakel. It means it wasn't given over in the ordinary manner of the other parshas, but it has special significance, and the whole community was gathered together, and like by the mitzvah of Hakel, and this parsha was said before. Why Mitnation Rove Gufe HaTorah Tlinimba? Because this parsha really, what it does is, a special parsha, it takes most of the Gufe HaTorah, most of the main ideas of the Torah, and it sets them forth in one parsha, and therefore it was necessary that this parsha be given not in the ordinary manner, but it was given over in front of the entire kohol, which means to say that this parsha is like a synopsis of the essence of Torah, and therefore was given over in a very special manner, the hakel, just like by Maimon Har Sinai. Okay. So that's what Rashi says. That's what it says, Daber al kol adas bnei Yisrael. This parsha was different. It was given in front of the entire Edom. Okay, not like given in front of the entire Ador, not like the ordinary, of course it wasn't ordinary, but not like the situation which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, where he received the Nebuah, and then there was a whole system of how he transmitted the Limud, like Chazal explained, but this was done in a different manner. Okay, that's what Rashi says, and that's what Chazal. So then Rashi goes on, and it says, Kedoshim Tiyu. Kedoshim Tiyu should be whole. What does it mean to be holy? What exactly does that mean? I mean, in Yahadis, we have to have an exact understanding of what the words mean. What does it mean to be holy? What does that mean? It has to have some kind of a definition. So Rashi says it means have a prushim min harayas min havera. So kol makom shata motze geder erva ata motze kedisha. Isha zon of a halola ani ad Hashem mekadisha. So Rashi says, Rashi explains that what is the idea of holiness? What does it mean holiness? Sanctification? Some kind of an emotional experience? The person has to feel holy? Feel, what does it mean? So Rashi says that this term, Kedoshim, really means, Kadosh means parish, separate. So it means to say that you should be separated from our rights. From our rights. So of course, I mean, what additional information is the Torah giving us that we don't have from the Parsha of Arayas itself? Correct? I mean, the Parsha of Arayas tells you the various prohibitions against the whole list of sexual intercourse and the whole halachas, all the halachas that. That abide in that institution. So what addition is being made here by saying Kedoshim Tiyu have a Kedushim in Arayas Minavera? Okay. Obviously, there's something moral, which means to say that even though a person would keep all the hilchos of the Arai, all the halachos, in detail, nevertheless, that's not enough. There's something more. What more is there? So it means that you should be apart. So what does it mean? What do you mean to be apart? So if you keep all halachos, you would be apart. Apparently, what Rashi's interpreting is that even if you kept all the halachos, you could still not be apart from the halachos. Which means to say that here the word kedoshim is referring to an internal state of the gavra, something more than just the mechanical commitment of keeping practically the prohibitions and avoiding violations of the Isuri Arayis. So these prohibitions should be removed from the Arayis, not simply by mechanically observing the halacha, but there's a certain internal state that the Torah is driving at, wants man to achieve and to attain. And that is where the person is completely removed from Arayis. So what does that mean? It means to say it's referring to the internal psychological and philosophical state of the individual, which demands that the person simply, that the Isuri Arayis eventuate in an internal kind of state of mind where the energies of the individual are not constantly searching for Arayis. In other words, the energies of the individual are removed from the sphere of Arayis, from the sexual sphere, which means to say that the individual in Kedusha, according to Rashi, means essential, the most powerful force, the most powerful instinctual force in man is the sexual libidinous force, libidinous energy. And over here, the Torah demands that the individual's energies be removed from being in a state where the libido, where the sexual drive is always ready to express itself, so to speak. So the energies are constantly waiting, maybe blocked off by prohibitions, but the energies are really in that sphere, in that area. So even though the individual does not commit the violation, but nevertheless, the energies are really en route, so to speak, towards the Arayis, and then you're not called a par. That's not called a par. Par means where the energies are removed from that sphere. Okay? Are removed from that sphere. So that's Kedusha. Kedusha means the transference of energy from the sexual sphere. Remove that energy from that area so that it's available for a higher purpose. That's Kedusha. That's Kedusha. So Rashi really gives you a definition of what Kedusha is. What Kedusha is. The way the Rambam describes it, remember the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person sees that they're being overpowered by the sexual energies, so the person should involve himself in Chachma, in Torah, because he says, She'ein Yehurim Boyin Elo So in other words, that's what the Rambam is describing. There's two different states. There's a state of mind where the person is ponim in a chachma, so then the energies are naturally going to go to the sexual sphere, okay, and that's the state that's not kedusha. But then, if a person is in a state where the energies are being directed to Chochma, and removed from that sphere, from the sphere of Arayis, so then the person is a Kaddish, is a different kind of individual. Different kind of individual. Yes.
Why did he throw in Omina Avera?
In Mina Avera, because what he means is, I mean, they interpret Mina Avera to mean also Averas of Arayis.
Ah.
It means to say, from the whole area, from the entire area. From the entire area. Minavera means, in other words, Minavera is a Shema Kolel for the whole institution. Okay. In Arias and Minerva, from particular Arias, and in general from the whole sphere. That's what he's explaining. So Rashi really is giving you an interpretation and a definition. And the Rambam basically is in agreement with that definition. Because the Rambam has Sefer Kedusha, and the Sefer Kedusha, what does he have? He has Macholos, Asuras, and Arias. Okay. But obviously the more powerful of the two is Arias. That's the more powerful of the emotional forces in man. The most powerful. Okay, what do Chazal say? Chazal say, even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir, if they were in situations in which the sexual sphere were really let loose and they weren't protected by Torah, then they too would succumb. These great individuals would succumb to each other. So Torah recognizes the powerful force of Arias, and that one must not repress the force, but the force must be one which has a legitimate expression. But nevertheless, the legitimate expression demands a certain kind of mentality, a certain kind of frame of mind. A frame of mind in which the energies are removed from the direct attractive state. Okay? And that's Kedusha. That's what Kedusha is. The person wants to know, what does it mean? What does Kedusha mean? That's Kedusha. Very straightforward definition. It means that the whole purpose of the Torah is that the sexual energies, which are the most powerful energies of man, must be placed in a certain kind of state in which they're available for the higher purpose of man's existence, which is thought, chachma, Yedias Hashem, pursuit of ultimate knowledge. That's basically what he does. Okay. Very reminiscent of Plato's theory. As Plato says, that the energies of a person are like he talks about the philosopher. And he says, should the philosopher be interested in the pleasures of love? So Plato says that the energies of a person are like a mighty stream. And he says, as long as the energies flow down that stream, that they're not available for anything else. He says, therefore, the philosopher, he says, will remove his energies from those other areas in order to make them available for the higher sphere of knowledge, pursuit of knowledge. That's what that's Plato's muscle. And it would seem that Yahadis is in perfect agreement with that concept, with that idea. And that's the idea of Prusha. Prusha means that you'll never attain perfection. As long as you don't make a change, an internal change, in the disposition of the libido. That's basically what Yahadis might mean. It requires that effort and that change on an internal basis. And even though you kept mechanically every halacha, if you don't make that change, you wouldn't be violating the Torah, but a kadosh you're not going to be. Kadosh you're not going to be. Kedusha demands more than just keeping the prohibition. The man's more. And that more is something which requires an effort, an internal effort, to block the energies from their natural expression so that they're available for the higher sphere. And that's Kedusha. That's the definition of Kedusha. That's where Rashi defines it. It has a very precise formulation. It's not just the holy. It's a very precise formulation. That's what Rashi explains. It's a beautiful Rashi. Perfectly intelligible, even like the Rambam says, that there are many, many things in Yahadis that philosophers who are true thinkers don't machave into the same thing, because what's true is true. So since the Torah is true, and the idea of Kedusha is a reality, and the human being has a Tzelem Elokim, it is very possible, and often happens, that a great thinker, if he thinks properly and he thinks in a manner which is where his mind is free, will come to the exact same conclusion. Now that's exactly what we have in the case of Kedusha and Metzius, that it's an idea which is supported philosophically, psychologically, and the Torah endorses it as well. That's Kedusha and Metzius, or the Pushim and Arayas and Avera. That's what Rashi, that's how Rashi explains in the next one. This is a beautiful and clear explanation. I don't think anybody could really have any qualms about the explanation. It's a perfect formula. Yes.
Very unmeasurable.
Yes, that's correct.
It's internal.
No, that's right. I mean, there's no way to know. There's no way to know who is a kadosh and who is not a kadosh because it's an internal phenomenon. Just like your shemayim is something that can never be measured by another human being. So it says, it means only God knows whether the person is really yours or not. Because people always have ulterior motives. You can never tell. A person could be mukhtab at tzulim and tzitzis and sitting over by a gemara, and he has an ulterior motive. I mean, like the story with the Sosa Lanta, the famous story. They came to Sosa Lanta, and they said, how's it possible this guy's living in fast all day and he just learns what keeps him alive. He's a tzaddik. So Saul Swanton says, where does he stay? He says, he sits in front of the basement. So he says, of course, left. That's what he's learning. He's living on the ego satisfaction. Everybody walks by and thinks, oh, there's a tzaddik. So he says, he doesn't need any physical sustenance. That's his sustenance. So only God knows. Your Shemayim is Yisrael Kechanir Hashem. Chazal say all the time. It's something only God knows. Anytime you see these, people say he's a big Yisrael Shemayim. So you have to question that. I don't say you say not Yisrael Shemayim. It is, but anything that's observable is not a demonstration of Yisrael Shemayim. Yes.
His comment on Mel Mitzvah is a way to be part of it, you know, so why is it a possible statement?
Oh, because that's a good question. That's a good question. That I'm Melim Batora, so what are we adding by Kedoshim? It's a good question. Why is it a good question? It's a good question. The question he's asking is like this. I mean, let's see what you have to say about it. In other words, this is the same thing as a Melim Batora. A Melim Batora means that you're working in Torah, and therefore, obviously, if you're
no
working, there's no energy left. So what is this different than... Then the concept of a male and batara. That's a very good question. In the chutos kelecha, see a male and batara. Yeah. Okay. Anybody want to talk about one? Good question. Good question. All right. I guess not. Good question. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. See, a male and batara is the same thing. A male and batara, so then. Excuse me? See, they both go hand in hand. There's no question about it. They go hand in hand. And that's what the Rambam says. That ain't a room by him. Ela b'leif panim and achach. There's no question about it. It's two sides of the coin. But nevertheless, they require individual formulation. Because not every instance is going to encompass the other instance. For instance, Shepiyah Melim Batara means that it's not enough to do mitzvahs. But really, too, the doing of mitzvahs should be a component, an expression of the person that's involved in a melis and talk. You shouldn't just pick up a lulav. You have to study what the lulav is about. And the picking up of the lulav, the mitzvah, should be an expression of a whole internal involvement in what the mitzvah is. That's correct. That's a melim batara. So melim batara, now if you do that, of course, if the person was a normal batara, kol yamav, there's no question about it. He'd be a cut. But over here, what the Torah is telling you is more than that. The Torah just said to you a melim batara, so it means like this. I mean, 9 to 5, I have a job, or however long that work. Okay, so I'm an omo batara after hours. Okay, so if that's from the time, I'm an omo batara. But what about doing the time when I'm not being omo batara? Okay, so it's possible for an individual during that time to allow a lapse to take place and allow his libido to have a kind of a free, floating type of existence. You see? So this basically would be the person would be in the time on Melim Batara after, but he would not be a Kaddish, he would not be a Parish. Parish means, it's two sides of the coin, but it's two different things. A Malin B'Torah is a positive aspect of learning Torah, but Torah means that you can't rely on that alone, but at every moment the person must be cognizant of which way his libido is flowing, and if he sees it flowing in the wrong direction, he must stop. He must put a stop. Okay? So that's why, while both go hand in hand, like two sides of the coin, but nevertheless, they have their own expression. Their own expression. Okay? On the other hand, if a person was simply a porous and simply did not engage or allow himself to have a free flow of his libido, he stopped it, and but it wasn't used for the highest sphere, I mean, that wouldn't be a male batar. Okay, I mean, would it be a porous? I mean, to an extent, yes. I mean, Persian porous means a specific type of internal activity. That's what it means. It means the person must have vigilance, constant vigilance, over the energy, the sexual energies. That's Kedoshim Pidur. Okay, on the other hand, the Malin B'Torah is obviously the purpose. It's not simply that the person should be have an ascetic existence. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that the energy should be used for the higher sphere. But nevertheless, Yahadis, the Torah, saw fit to give it a specific expression and formulation because it's a certain kind of internal phenomenon. That's one internal phenomenon, and Malin B'Torah is another. Okay, so you had to saw fit to express both. And it's appropriate to express both, because, as I said, each one has its own sphere of function. The spheres of function are not identical. Okay? Of course, if a person didn't have to do anything in his life but learn, then, of course, a Malin B'Torah would try on a practical level to take care of it, because you always have your own metabolism. You never know enough of documents. But the fact is, that's not the nature of human existence. The human existence is a person is conveyed from a Torah, but there are other things a person has to do throughout their life. So during that time, when they're not a normal B'Torah, they have a feel to have a certain vigilance over their internal psychological energy. Okay? That's proof. That's right. So Rashi's explanation is very good and very clear. And when you really think about Rashi, you're very satisfied with what Rashi's saying. You don't need anything more. You take a look at the Ramban, and the Ramban is unhappy with Rashi. Okay? And it's hard to understand what exactly the Ramban, why he is unhappy with Rashi. All right? And it's hard to understand exactly what he does. But let's take a look at what he said. Okay? And then I mean we'll get back to the difference. What I'd like to understand is the difference between the Ramban and between Rashi. And I think that when you read the Ramban, there's a certain question that you could raise about the Ramban. Yes.
Last question, Rashi. You said that you're not connected to Amel and Bukhara, and just to deal with the like the person who's working or whatever.
Yes.
So I understand that in the usual situation, Hazal's advice was if you have to grab the person who would be involved in Torah, right?
Yes.
So what about the person who can't be on the Torah, right? So how is he supposed to control it? So it's simply control?
Obviously, no choice. He can't let himself go free. I mean, he can't let himself go wild. No, that's what the Ram says. What does the Ram say? The Ram says he has to be involved in Chachma because Einu Hu and Boyim Ella B'Leiv Panim and Chachma. So if you don't have Chachma, you're in trouble. There's no question. There's no substitute for it. That's it. There's no substitute for it. Okay. Yeah. So let's take a look at the Ramban. So the Ramban says like this. The Ramban says, Av B'Torah Konim Ra'isi Stam. Push him to you. V'chein shanu sham v'skadishtem v'yisem kadoshim ki kadoshani. K'shem shani kadosh tachatem ki kadoshim. Alright? And we know that that's a little something more. K'shem shani parosh tachatem ki yipushim. Ramban says that this sounds like something different than what Rashi is explaining, which is simply a certain disposition of the libido. But here it sounds like it's something more. I mean, kadosh is like God. So he says, so what is this pishus? So it's like, the lefi daiki ina pishus hazu lifrash min arayas kedivei rav. It's not like Rashi says it means part from arayas. Aval apishus siya muskeres b'chol makom b'talmud. This pishus is something that's mentioned all over in the Talmud. She ba'aleo nikron pushin. But that's why he called the Chazal, he called them personal. Zero Inyan, and what does this mean? He says like this. Ki HaTorah is hira ba'arayos ubma'acholim ha'asurim. The Torah warned us against arayos, sexual prohibitions, and the repetitive prohibitions, ma'acholim ha'asurim. The pira ha'bio ish disha. But yet the Torah permitted man to have sexual intercourse with his wife. Vachilas ha'bosav ha'ayayim. And could eat meat and drink wine. In Cain, if so, Yinsa Balataiva Mokom Yoshotuf Bezimas Ishto Onoshova Rabos. A person appointed to have many wives and be involved constantly with having intercourse with his wife, with many wives. The Rios Besove Yayin Bezole Bosalama. And the person can be involved in eating like a glutton and live a gluttonous life, meat and wine. The Yidaber Kirtzono B'chol HaNevolos, and could speak verbally about the most base things. Okay, Shalom Husker, this is Abba Torah. Torah doesn't even mention this, they're not allowed to speak about things that are base and low. V'hine yiyah novel b'shus HaTorah. So the individual with the Torah itself will become a novel. Okay, so first of all, we don't understand it. Because the way we explain Rashi, what Rashi's saying will simply take care of this problem. Because Rashi's saying that the sexual sphere is the most powerful energy source. And once that source is tamed, so then obviously you have to go to Chachma. So how could it be a novel b'shus HaTorah? I mean, what if Ramban? The Ramban's criticism on Rashi doesn't seem to hold water. Because what Rashi's saying makes perfect sense. He's saying that the most powerful force in man is the sexual energy. Okay, many psychologists, they came to the same conclusion. That's the most powerful force in man. So therefore, what Rashi's saying is that the person must have vigilance over this source, like we explained, and he won't be a novel b'shus HaTorah, because he'll be a novel b'shus. And so what is the Ramban's critique? I mean, it's hard to understand what the Ramban's critique is. Okay? I mean, what is Ramban saying? That Korach Min Arayos is a novel? I mean, I'd like to see that. I mean, I don't think that anybody in the right mind would say, you see an individual, Korach Min Arayos, and he's involved in talking about that this guy can be a novel b'shus HaTorah. What is Ramban talking about? I mean, his critique, we don't understand what his critique is. Okay? So then he goes on, he says, like, L'tnichach bo'at kosm. Therefore the Torah came. Achre she'parati surim she'osar osam agamri. After it mentioned specifically the violations that it completely prohibited, the tziva b'dovar kloli. And then what it did was, first the Torah, in other words, gave specifics. Then the Torah gave a generic kind of command. And what is that? She'niyah pushim min amosos. We should be removed from all kinds of luxuries. That's what he's saying. Pushim min amosos. It means that a person, according to the Ramban, a person should be removed from any type of yedifa, I mean, running after luxury, luxurious life. You're not allowed to, a person is not permitted to pursue the luxurious life. Interesting. Yimad the mizgal ki she'amru la'yir tamidah chom mitzun yetzim v'shem p'tanagolim, which means to say that a person should not engage constantly in sexual intercourse, even between man and wife. The lo yeshame shel kfiyat tzorach b'tziyam ha-mitzvah imenu, and he should only engage in intercourse insofar as his obligation is in terms of a mitzvah, in terms of mitzvah spiritual. The yekadesh atzma min ha-yayin b'miyuta, and he should remove himself from wine and only drink a small amount. No shakara kosev ha-nozir kadosh. Torah called the Nazir a holy person. The Yizka arose on his chorus memenu. You remember the bad things that come from engaging in too much wine, like it mentions by Noah, what happened to Noah and what happened to Lot. So you see, the person should think of these things, should realize that getting drunk is improper. The Chen Yafresh Atzmo Minat Tumah. Isn't an interesting one? He says, not only that, but a person should learn something from Tumah. What is Tumah? Tumah Meis. What is Afa Pishlos Hanum in Menavatar? Even though the Torah doesn't say that you have to be a Mufras from Tumah. Except for Kahanim, but certain types of Tumah for Kahanim. But an ordinary person, there's no issue to be Tumah. But still, he says, a person should remove himself from Tumah. Kinyish is Q, like I mentioned, Big Day Amar, it's Medrash Lepushim. So Chazal and Noheg had this anhaga that they kept the Hilchos Tuma, even though they weren't obligated to do so. Okay, so Chazal mentioned this, and he says, and this is what is meant. He says, the motion Nikra Nozer Kadosh B'Shomron B'Tumas Ameis Gamkin. Strange, I mean, to understand Tumas Ameis is what. I mean, what does it have to do with? But anyways, but that's what he says. He says that's why they call Prushim, because they were Ochel Lachmeim Al Paras Akaris. That's what Chazal said. So they kept Hilchos Tuma even though they weren't obligated to do so. Also, the strange institution. And actually, he said, we'll get back to that. He says, the Gam Yishmo people of Shono may is Gael Beribi Achila Gatsa, and he should watch his mouth and his tongue from being involved in overeating, eating foods that are just eaten for the sake of Taiva, and from speaking about things that are not appropriate, like Chazal say, sexual matters and things like that. He's just going to cross a whole ped dover in a vola. You see, nivola peh. Even though the turn of acid nivola peh. Normally, there's no issa. The person violates one of the tired mitzvahs if he has nivola peh. No. But still, you see, still he says, that's included in kedoshim for you. The akadesh atmo bazeh, and he should make himself holy with this, ad shi agila precious. Until he reaches the state of precious, kumasha omor rabbi chiyah. Like we mentioned, Barabbi Chiyash lo soch sicho betelo miyamah. That he never in his life just had an idle conversation. Mostly an idle conversation, just sit down and talk. He never did that. Every time he spoke, there was a reason. Either it was a matter of Torah, or else it was a practical reason. Otherwise, he didn't speak. Okay. He says, Be'elu v'kiyotze b'ayin. He says, these type of things, okay, he's not including all of them, obviously. He says these type of things, bo mitzvah zos haklala. So this generic mitzvah came acharei shepoat kol averos shein asur legamri. After it specified all the averos that are completely asur, achi yikones beklal zos hatzavah. He says go so far that what's included in this command, he says, hanakiyus biyada v'gufa, physical cleanliness. Let's just remember. This kaddishim, he shall be holy. Elu mayim rishona. That means you wash mayim rishona. Not because of the takana shlama. All right. It's simply this kaddishim is mayim rishona. You should wash your hands. Have your hands should be physically clean. The yisim kadoshim, you should be holy. Elu mayim achronim. Wash your hands after the suda. Ki kadosh zeshem and ore. After that, they would take oil, fine oil, and put it on the rub it on their fingers. He says, why is that? Even though these are mitzvahs midrabbanan, he says, "Ikur hakosav b'kiyotze b'zeh yazik." The main thing, the pasuk really is warning about this type of thing. Sheniyeh nikiyim u'tahorim, we should be clean and pure, ikrushim mehamon b'nei adam, and separated from the masses of people, shehem malach lachim atzmam b'mosros u'b'kiyurim. That they are unclean, you see, because of luxuries and because they engage in degrading type of expressions and activities. The Zed Derech HaTorah, which is, this is the way of the Torah, Lifrot V'Lichlo B'Kiyotze Bozeh, to be specific and then generic, he says. Ki A'achare HaTorah Prote Adinim B'Chol Masom Matan Shem Ben Odom, Ben Ben Odom, he says, after the Torah tells you all the various halachas that you must keep in terms of doing business, v'lo signo, you shouldn't steal, v'lo sigzo, v'lo sonu, you shouldn't cheat, v'lo shoros horos, oma b'chlal, the Torah then generically stated, v'lo sisa yoshua tov, you should do that which is good and that which is right. She yachnis ba'asei ha'yosha v'ha'ashvoya, v'chol l'fnin mishuras adin l'ratzon chavera. So he says, so that means that the person should act, even though they're not in violation of any technical halacha and masa matan, but still they should act generically in a nice way, as Sisa Yoshua told. So certain things, I mean, might not be also like the question of, that's the question of copyright and things like that. Is copyright, steal somebody's copyright, is it an issa or not? It might not be a technical issa. But it certainly, I mean, you have to investigate the situation, but it certainly is not Vasisa Yeshua Tov. That's why in Europe, when they had, like, the Chafetz Chaim Sfarim, somebody produced Chafetz Chaim Sfarim, so the question was, I mean, you don't own the thing, so somebody else can take it away from this individual and can, you know, usurp the business and make their own business. So that's why they made Xeris, so they gave him a certain amount of years. This individual said, no one's allowed to go in competition with him. So that's what he said, Yeshua Tov. There's no technical issue, but it's not right. It's not right. What he said, Yeshua Tov, there's such a thing as right. Okay. That's what Rambam says. She is a whole of human shiur to do Lerotzon Chavero. I mean, he goes beyond even to even in terms of his Chavero, and they see it this way, so if there's some justification in their view, so fine. He's not going to stand on the technicality of the law. Kasha Farish Bagilim Komo Bertona Kodakwa. Okay, so I'll explain that when I get to the place. Okay. The chain being in a Shabbos, also malachos belav atorchem basay kol ishnem atishbos, and he says from Sukkot kol ishnem atishbos. So he means like this: he says, no, if a person, same thing by Yisrael Shabbos, the person keeps all the malachos in Shabbos, like the Mishnah Berurah says. Somebody might say, you don't even know of a Shabbos. He'll say, I'll lay in bed all day. I'll never violate our halacha. That's also a violation. Why? Because there's a positive aspect of Shabbos. So that's what he's saying. He's saying the Torah tells you this specific, but the real purpose of Shabbos is beyond the Lo Sasecha Melacha. It finds an expression in a whole different experience of the Yom, a different kind of a day. So that's what the Ramban is saying. Okay. So the question, of course, is the question we raised before. That why? Well, what's wrong with Rashi's Pshat? I mean, it seems that the Rashi's Pshat is very good. There's another question also. I would say I have a problem with the Ramban's chat. Why? Because the Ramban is talking, obviously. What the Ramban is saying is, Ramban's talking about, right? So I just want to say one thing about the Tumah. The idea of the Tumah, what the Ramban is saying, Ramban said the same thing basically, that the reason why Chazal instituted, they kept the Tahara Sakodah, they kept the Lachatar, so Ramban says basically they didn't want to be involved in the Sidus of the Hamon. I wanted to be removed from the masses, and this was something which allowed them kedusha. What over there means like this. What Ramban means by that kedusha is he's singling out a kedusha that a Talmud Chacham should never be involved in looking for the approval of the masses. That's what it means. A Chacham means Tuma. What is that? Now Tuma was used for that purpose. Because really, what is Tuma basically? Halachically, what is Tuma? Halachically, Tuma means that you can't go into the Middash. So it means to say that on the halachic structure of Tuma, what is the concept? Tuma means that you remove, what does Tuma mean? A person's tummy is unclean, what does it mean unclean? So it's not a stigma. It means that you see that a guy is never tummy. So on the contrary, so Tuma means you can't go into the Middash. Because all the hilchot Tuma are all revolved around Middash. Now what is the concept of Middash? Middash is L'fnei Hashem. So the idea of Tuma is, what the Ramban says is that there's an idea behind Tumah. There are technical halachas of Tumah, but there's also a concept behind Tumah. What's the concept behind Tumah? The concept is that a person is removed from being before God. That's the idea of Tumah. So therefore, the Ramban says that one of the major ways that a person is removed from God is if he's involved with the Hamon. Means he's looking to be involved to go to the Sudas Hamon and to be with them, to get cover from them and approval from the Hamon. So this is something, that tendency, that need, that desire is tamei, is richut from Migdash, so to speak, is richut from Matar Hevar. So that's why Chazal would keep the Hilchos Tairas HaKodesh, and therefore their food and everything they ate had to be done in a very specific way. They couldn't mingle with the Hamona and they couldn't mingle with the Hamona. So therefore, this halacha of Tumah, you see, was a means and a vehicle for what? For removing themselves from one of the dangers that a human being faces, which is the need for social acceptance. Okay, acceptance among large masses of people. So that's the Kedusha of Tumah. That's what the Ramban is saying. But the question that I have is like this. Ramban is saying that this is really what the Gosh until he mentions the level of an individual like a Priya who never in his life had an idle conversation. I mean, you're talking about a person that is on such a high level, I mean, it's even difficult for us to perceive such a level. I mean, so my question is like this. A simple question. My question is, in the beginning, what does it say? Daber ol kol adas b'nei Yisrael lema. That I don't think the Ramban does not deny that this, for the first Rashi, that this parsha was said b'hakel in front of the entire group, the entire community of Klal Yisrael. So the question is, I mean, what kind of a hakel is that? What kind of a thing is that? I mean, I can understand it for the Yechidim. Individual, rare personalities. I mean that throughout the over the centuries, you've had a few handfuls of these type of people. Okay, that I can understand. But my question is, doesn't this go against the basic idea that this is something for Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael? I mean, this is a rare kind of an individual, Yachid B'Doro. I don't think the Ramban was so naive as to think that everybody can reach that level. I mean, it's obviously something which is a rarity. But if something which is a rarity, how does the Ramban justify the Kedoshim Tiyu, okay, the last part of the Pasuk, with the first part of the Pasuk of Dabra Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael Lema? Okay, this is something for the entire Eda. Alright? That's my question. What? Very difficult. It means, of course, what Ramban means is, it means to say, in this way, he's emulating God. Why? Because he's completely removed from the instinctual life. Okay, God is not subject to any instinctual life, but we approach God in the sense that now we're living in a world of seichel and chokhmah, and that's the tzelem alekim. That's how we approach. We emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Ramban understands the process. I mean, it makes sense. But it's today. Just go a little further anyway. But he says like this. He says further. V'amro tifna l'alilim. He says, Yoma Shalla Yifna Libo Balilim Lahamed. A person should not turn towards the idolatrous type of inclinations. Lahamin Shiya Bem Toelas, to think that there's any benefit, or Shiyavo Asidus, or Shiyasnabomam, or to think that the future that they predict will come. Avaliya Hain Bachoma Sam, Ephes Rotal Banab. This is absolute nonsense. It means to say, you see, even Chazal made certain concessions in this area. That Chazal made certain concessions, and there were certain superstitions that Chazal couldn't wipe out among the people, and they allowed certain things that were mutter in certain cases, certain individuals. But here he says that's not the level of a Parash. Parash knows that Kol Ma'aseyim is Ephes Hatov. Everything besides Torah is total nonsense. Below Sofo Asidus Rashi Zeres Alman. The future only comes because of God's Zera. And no one has access to it except the Navi, and therefore he says that one should not be inclined, even have the inclination, to search there for the future or to think there's any benefit in what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do. Okay. Alright. So he goes on to say that in this parasha, of course, you have he agrees with Rashi. That in this parsha you have the synopsis of Kol HaTorah Kula. You have Ishim Avav Tiro'u, so it's teaching you Moro, Eshav Sosai Tishmoru, and then it has the Medrash Reid Rabbi Skiro La Parsha Azura Belevyam of Nesha Aseres Adibras Kulim Besoch. Has all of Aseres Adibras are included in this. He agrees with Rashi. He agrees with Rashi that the whole Aseres Adibras are included in this parsha. Which also is another question. What does that got to do with what he said before? Alright? In other words, before he's saying Kedoshim to you means to be a parish like a priya. And so how does that tie in with the fact that this parsha has the whole Torah, like the whole Mikra Torah is kolah. What do you need it for? What do you need it for, according to Ramban? You understand? According to Rashi, I understand this nemar b'hakel because it's ikri gufei Torah, fine. But according to Ramban, the kedoshim tiyu is what? The kedoshim tiyu is basically, according to the Ramban, is that a person should be a level of a parish, a total parish. So why do you have to have kol ikri Torah kolumba? Okay, what does that get to do? And he goes on, he explains. That's really the rest of the Ramban is just to explain that. Okay. I think what the Ramban is saying, I like to say is like this. The Ramban is saying, I think, something that is a big yisod in Kalatar Kula. I think it's often overlooked, basically. Often overlooked. What the Ramban is saying is that a person will have a tendency to think and to believe that they can fulfill the Torah by keeping the mitzvahs, by simply keeping the mitzvahs. And through that, through the mitzvahs themselves, they will be able to feel that they've accomplished what the Torah set forth for them. Okay? Now the person can really misconstrue the objective of Torah. And a person can think and get into a frame of mind, and I think that frame of mind is very prevalent. It's very prevalent outside, and think that because the mitzvahs are very technical, very structured, and very logical, that a person can fulfill his obligation of the Torah and really achieve the perfection that the Torah is looking for simply by being vigilant with regard to the technical performances of the Torah. And with all their intricate technical structure, and with all the concepts that are behind the mitzvahs, still in all, as important as it is to blow shofar properly in every detail, in every halacha, and to know every aspect of it, if a person feels that simply by fulfilling the technical structure of the halacha, he's attained the state that the Torah is looking for, Ramban says he's making things better. That even though an individual will be careful and cautious, and we'll make sure that they never miss a halacha. They never miss a halacha. They keep every detail of the halacha practically to feel that that is the individual that the Torah is pointing at as the perfect individual. That's wrong. Okay? In other words, the Torah has... See, the Torah is structured in a way where it's extremely encompassing in terms of a person, demanding on a person's life. Of course, of the technicality. Tremendous amount of technicality. And in no way can an individual remove himself from keeping the technicality. But at the same time, if a person feels that by virtue of simply mechanically acting in line with the technicalities, that this is the perfected individual, a certain type of individual, like, that is militant and structured and is careful in every second of their life, but it's simply a technical kind of accomplishment. You understand what I mean? In other words, it's like let us say, for instance, if a person had an idea of Torah, is like an idea that a drill sergeant would have. Okay? In other words, here you have a complex system with tremendous amount of technicalities, and the individual will fall into a certain kind of a philosophy that what they're going to do is simply make sure that every single thing is done according to the way the Torah says. And then a person might think that, on the contrary, this is in line with Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God's will, because he's doing every minute exactly what the prescription of Allah is. Okay? Exactly what the prescription of Allah is. And he's a halachic individual to the nth degree. What the Ramban is saying is that such an individual really would miss as much as the individual would be an unusual phenomenon. I mean, requires a tremendous amount of knowledge if they would do such a thing. But as much as the individual would be an unusual phenomenon, he would miss the point of the Torah. That's what the Ramban is saying. What the Ramban is saying is that with the Torah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, as important as they are, and even though there is no way for an individual to extricate himself from the obligation of performing the mitzvah and keeping every detail and every technicality, but if a person will say that mitzvahs are an end in themselves, then a person is that's an amazing Ramban. And I think that, I mean, it's really the Ramban is not something which is you know, just an impractical kind of a statement. I think that there are many people that really harbor such notions, such an idea, and therefore there's an interesting letter the Ramban has where someone attacked him on a halakha. Rambam answered, I don't remember exactly the lesson, I heard it many years ago. But the Rambam said, he defended himself halachically, and then he said that whether I'm right or wrong, he says, doesn't make any difference in terms of chayol mabar. Something to that stuff. Because the purpose of the halacha is demanding as it is, and as much as a person cannot say, I will go for perfection and abandon halacha because we're committed to halacha, to every detail of the halacha. But nevertheless, if a person would say that the halacha is an end in itself, and that the Torah is trying to produce an individual who simply lives a militant kind of existence and carries out functionally every single halacha of the Torah, that's the objective of man, that's the type of man the Torah is trying to produce, you're making a mistake. It's not true. It's false. Okay? Because the mitzvah, as intricate and as deep and as involved as they are, they're only a means. And the means is perfection. And the means is perfection. That's this tradition. That's what it means. That's what the Ramban says is Kedoshim Tzibur. So according to the Ramban, that's the Ramban's critique on Rashi. Ramban's critique on Rashi is Rashi is very beautiful. Rashi is explaining important principles. I don't believe in Ramban tonight. Everybody has to agree with Rashi. But what the Ramban is saying is that there's something more over here in the idea of Kedoshim Tzibur than what Rashi is saying. Because Rashi is limiting it, the Kedoshim Tzibur, to a specific kind of disposition in the individual which lends his nature to be involved in the highest sphere of Chochmah. That's very important and wonderful. But the Ramban is saying that Kedoshim Tzibur is a different kind of a message. It's really a message about what Kol HaTorah Kula is about. You see? What Kol HaTorah Kula is about. It's telling you that the mitzvahs, as intricate and as detailed as they are, can never be viewed as an end, only as an end. Never be viewed as an end. That's a difficult thing. That's a very difficult thing. And that's why that answers the three kashas we have in the Ramban. Kasha one is why he's on the side of Torah Rashi. It sounds like he's just adding a little more to Rashi. Rashi says in this sphere, he says in every sphere. I mean, so what's the big issue? That was the first question. Second question we raised on the Ramban was with regard how does Ramban answer Dabar Kol HaDasani? Why was it said in front of the entire Eda? How many people can live up to this ideal? One Reb Chiya. Okay? What's the answer? The answer is, sure, there's only one Reb Chiya that can live up to this ideal. But everyone has to know the idea. You must know the idea that the technical performance of mitzvahs, as great and as detailed and as intricate and as intellectual as it is not the end. It's still only a means. It's the greatest means, the greatest possible means, is what Rasul Chazal say. Akasha, that Rotzakosh Baruch Hu Zakos Yisrael L'Fiko Chibol Am Torah Mitzvahs. Rotzakosh Baruch Hu Zakos Yisrael L'Fiko Chibol Am Torah Mitzvahs. That means the Torah Mitzvahs is a means. He still shines us in the opening of the Sefer. That the all the mitzvahs are employing, are means to arrive at a certain perfected state. So the Ramban is saying, that's why according to Ramban, everything fits in very well. That's why Ramban goes on to show how Ikrei Gufei Torah are given in this Pasha. But according to the Ramban, why were they given in this Pasha? Because what it's showing is like this. Kedoshim Tiyah. The objective of the whole Torah is to arrive at an individual, to produce an individual that is really perfected. And that's why it takes Gufei HaTorah and puts it into this Pasha, but it starts off with Kedoshim Tiyu to show you that this is the objective of the Mitzvah. In other words, if a person will keep every technical aspect of the Torah, but they don't become a perfected individual. And what is a perfected individual? Not just with regard to Arias, it's with regard to the whole state, which is Nikra Porosh. It means that he's Porosh from Arias, he's Porosh from contact with the social for his own self-aggrandizement, he's Porosh from Lashon Hara, he's Porosh from Nivul Peh. I mean, Lashon Hara is right, but Nivul Peh. It means that the individual is a Porosh, is a different kind of perfected personality. That's really the purpose of all the mitzvahs. And if a person doesn't see that point, but a person thinks that the Torah really reached its goal in simply producing a technical man that is vigilant insofar as halachic structure is concerned, that that's a mistake. The person missed the entire point of Kol HaTorah. And that's why the Ramban, that's the way the Ramban really explains the Pasuk. It's a different concept than Rashi. Rashi learns it's a specific kind of disposition, the basic disposition that's necessary for the system of Torah. That's true, for Shimon Elias. But the Ramban is learning it's a completely different message. And the message is that a person must always know that you cannot fulfill what the Torah demands of you simply through the technicalities of Allah. Now, of course, I mean, a person, you know, it's a dangerous message, because there were people that said, yeah, of course, since that's the purpose of the Torah, so what do we need the mitzvah for? What do we need the mitzvah for? Let's just go for perfection. Yeah, the answer is that the basis is impossible. Impossible, because that's what says Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, that the only way to do it is really through what? Yeah. Now the Ramban makes reference to the pasuk in the A. The pasuk in the A is really sums it up. The Ramban in the A. The Ramban in Varim Vav Yudches. Take a look. Varim Vav Yudches. So what the Ramban says over there is as follows. It says, "Vasisa Hayosher Atol Veinu Rishon Avotecha." What's the beginning of the pasuk? In Re'eh, you have many times. It says several times. It says, "Vasisa Hayosher Atol Veinu Rishon Avotecha." So the pasuk says, for instance, take a look. And what did I say? I said, "Vav Yudches." That's Vashchan. Vav Yitzchak is Vashchan, right? Take a look. Shomar Tishman Yizayin is Shomar Tishman is Mitzvot of Hashem Elokeichem Veidosa V'chukro V'asher Tziva V'asisa Yosha Tova Ato Bein Yer Hashem L'man Yitav Loch V'asher Rasha Saros Tova Tov Yimizba Hashem L'Vesacha. Okay, that's one. Then it says, then take a look at the bottom on Vav on Chazal. By a Tavein Lo Hashem Lasos Kol Achukim O'Ela Liyu Asad Hashem Lekim. The Tavein Lo Kol Ayom L'Chayesen Kiyom Azah. All right, Liyu Asad Hashem Lekim. Then take a look, for instance, in the A. It says in the A, Yud Beis, many places, Yud Beis Yechates. שמור ושמעתו ישראל את דבר מאלה שלא מצד וקו, למען היית בכל ובנך אחריך עד עולם, כי ססה הטוב והיושר בעיני את השם הלכה. Okay? And then again, in the Gila, the text. כי ששמע בכל ובשם הלכה ושמור שכל מצוות ושמעות המצד כיום, לעשות היושר בעיני את השם הלכה. So repeated many times, many times. Okay? So the question is, what do you have to say to her? What do you mean, Lassa say Yosha Ben Yashem Ota? Do the mitzvahs, and that's the Yosha. What is this Yosha? What does this say Yosha Tov? What is that? So the Ramban explains. Ramban says like this. He says, Yoma, he says, okay, so he says, in first he gives one chapter, one chapter. Uskama says, Lassa say Yosha Ben Yashem Ota. Okay, that's the only reason he's doing the mitzvahs. Then he says, Rabbeinu was a medrash yot. Amru, zuk shorah v'lefnim yisiras again. This means that a person should go even beyond the halacha, even beyond the din, beyond what he has to do when it comes to fairness and justice. V'akavona b'zeh, what does he mean by that? Ki yitchila omar, shetishmo kukosa v'idosa v'asher tzila. First, he tells you he should keep his mitzvahs. Ba'ata yoma, now he says, Yam ba'asher lo tzivo, ten daikho lasos atova yosha be'ino, yu ohev atova yosha, v'ze inyin gadol, v'ti she'i efshe lahaskir b'tan Torah, kol anhag osa ono, im shchino v'reo, v'chol maso matano v'tikune yagisha v'medino skula, aval achre shehiske me'em habe, if you don't want to say like rocher, lo sitem, lo sitem, lo sitem, lo sitem, lo Los kalcheres, and instead of talking with Yotzeba, Chosa Yoma, Chosa Wama Dar Klau, She Yasa Hatova Yosha Bechol Dova, Achi Yikonis Bezer HaPshora, Velefnim Yishua Sazim, Vekmosha Ahesh, Kmosha Skim Dira Bamecha. So what does Ramban say? It's amazing Ramban. Ramban says Chazal basically. Namely, that even if a person will keep all the technicalities, he still won't be Mekayim what God wants. Vasisa Yosha Bechol Gam B'Masha Lo Tzivah. It means to say that the Torah is interested in producing an individual that has a certain characteristic of yashar, of fairness. Okay, understands what fairness is. So even if a person will stick to every technicality, but he won't be fair, he won't be yashar, won't be tov ben Hashem, so he's in violation. Not a technical violation. Not a technical violation. But a violation of what the whole Torah is about. Because the purpose and the objective of all the mitzvahs is to produce a certain kind of an individual that is Tov Yosha Benyan. And that explains also why Kedoshim Tiyu, another question that you could have raised, is why isn't Kedoshim Tiyu a mitzvah? Why isn't all the Minyan a mitzvah? Ramban doesn't count as a mitzvah. Why shouldn't it be an Asari, one of the mitzvahs? The answer is because the mitzvahs are really the technical structure. But Kedoshim Tiyu is the objective of the mitzvah. That's the objective of the mitzvah. So it can't be Nechwal and Minyan HaMitzvah because it's giving the objective of the mitzvah. It doesn't belong in Minyan HaMitzvah. Okay?
Why is it different than Avos Hashem?
Excuse me?
Why is it different than Avos Hashem?
No, because Avos Hashem is a specific kind of a thing. For instance, Einstein was Mekayim Avos Hashem. Wasn't Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay? Wasn't Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But Kedoshim Tiyu is a statement that's telling you, enlightening you, as to what exactly the objective of all the mitzvahs is. Okay? So a statement that's enlightening you as to what the objective is can't be considered itself a mitzvah. You understand? It's a conveyance of knowledge vis-a-vis the whole objective and the purpose of the system. That's not a mitzvah. That's a piece of information. That's explaining to you the whole objective of the Torah. The objective of the Torah is that men should have a relationship with God. The Yisem Kedoshim Tiyu Hashem. It means to say they should be close to God. How is he close to God? By using these mitzvos as a vehicle of attaining a certain state of perfection. That's basically what the Ramban is saying. But if you use the mitzvos simply to be a technically correct individual, you do everything right, then you've missed the purpose of Kol HaTorah. That's basically what Ramban means. That's what Ramban's now. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not a kasha in Rashi. Rashi gives that too, but Rashi gives Rashi's interpretation of Kedoshim to you is not the same idea. It's a different idea than the Rambam. According to Rashi, Kedoshim Tiyu is basically what Kedoshim Tiyu by Rashi is. It's another mitzvah. It's another mitzvah. You do this also, whether it's all the minyan mitzvahs or not. But it's Kedoshim Tiyu is a certain kind of internal performance. You see, according to Rashi, according to the Ramban, it's not an internal performance. It is telling you, enlightening you as to what exactly the objective of all the mitzvahs are, and do not make a mistake in things. That by keeping the mitzvahs alone as an end, even though you kept every single one, that you were able to fulfill the objective of the Torah. Not true. That's similar to what the Rambam says in his letter, where they ask him if the guy has a chel on the bar. So he says, take a look at what the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon Anavim. The Torah says, what was so great about Moshe Rabbeinu? Reish Moshe Anav Ma'ov, you call Lord Moshe Pnei Adama. Okay? How did he say? He put on film, he got Shabbos, he's the biggest money, he's this, nothing, same thing. It says one thing, that he reached the level of Anivus that no human being ever reached. And that was his greatness. So therefore, you see, the Rambam says that perfection in man and Chayolam Abba is totally not in Asiyah HaMitzvahs, but in the perfection, which results from the Asiyah HaMitzvahs. So basically, that's what the Rambam says, and the Ramban is saying that that's exactly what's meant by Kedoshim Tiyu. It's a different concept, a different idea. It's in a totally different plane than Rashi. Categorically, it's in a different plane. You know, that's what I wanted to clarify, the difference in Rashi and not that Ramban is adding a few more things. Rashi is going to rise, Ramban is adding a few more things. It's a totally different idea, totally different concept of what Ramban is introducing. And that's basically what he's saying, yeah.
The Ramban accepts the 20
the Ramban?
The Ramban.
Yes.
Accepts the 20 to the Ramban of
Yeah. He's not saying that. He's saying on the contrary, he's saying positive things as well. This could be something
he's
saying.
That's a man. When you read,
he's saying you're producing a certain kind of individual. You see, what is the definition of Paris? Let me say this one. What does it mean, Paris? Paris means that the natural flow of energies have been blocked. Okay, the natural instinctual expression has been interfered with. That's why it's called a part. In these parts, but in all directions, so that he is looking for one thing. You see, he's looking for the world of truth, or Emes, and Yiras Hashem, and a certain kind of life. That's what Ramban, you understand? That's what it's called a part. The part means that he's separated from the lifestyle of the Hamon, which is the life. That's why the Ramban says the person that's looking for luxuries is not only Arayas, it's the whole sphere of operation. The whole sphere of operation is different. It's changed.
What
do
you
guys
do
as a
flaw with the
ones that say, and there were philosophers that maintain that the Mar Nevuchim, they learned the Mar Nevuchim, and they said, yeah, of course, the purpose is perfection, so you don't have to do the mitzvah. So the Rambam knows not the Rambam really believe that you don't do the mitzvah. So that's nonsensical. I mean, that is the difficult position that Torah finds itself in. On the one hand, the Torah knows that the only way that a person is going to attain perfection is through the Asiyas HaMitzvahs. So a person, and the Asiyas HaMitzvahs is a commitment and a benefit for every individual, you see, on the whole, in general, and also for society, for the continuity of the system of perfection, and many reasons. I mean, why a person is obligated to keep mitzvahs, even beyond themselves.
Even like the Rambam says in the Ma'ariv, that a particular mitzvah might not be beneficial to a particular person at a particular time. It doesn't mean you can break the mitzvah. For many reasons, you have to keep the mitzvah because he's makabal. That's the whole idea of a kabbalah on mitzvahs. You're makabalizing yourself and for generations, and it's a kabbalah for yourself and for a few generations, and you can't break the kabbalah. There you go. But it is true, but it is nevertheless true, to say that really this is the method, the best method of attaining perfection. And if a person can say that he can deviate from this method and he can attain the same perfection, no thing. That's the virtue of the apostle. Never attain the same degree of perfection. You cannot say that a given person who didn't have the system that is on a very high level is lower than any individual that keeps the system. That's not true either. Okay? But it's equally not true for an individual to say, what is it, I don't tell Lassos, it's called Nissa, it's called Chukumela, what is this, Laman, Lassos, Chukumela, Latovon, Kola Yomen, Lachayasen, Kayomazer. So what does it mean? It means to say that this is the vehicle of perfection. And if anyone says that on the that kola perakula and keeping of the mitzvahs can be done away with, and that you can arrive at the same level of perfection without the mitzvahs, their own kind, that's virtually impossible. Cannot be done. Okay. So that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu was like as Israel. Okay. But what people do is the HR is strong and distortions of the mind take place, and people would like to remove themselves from the obligation of the keeping mitzvahs and restrictions and difficulties. They say, yeah, it's nice, we'll go all be philosophers, and you know, we'll go perfection. That's nonsensical, it's not true, it's virtually untrue, and it's against Kol HaTorah. But the other side is also wrong. There's a difficulty of the Yad, this is it never satisfies a particular emotion. Okay? There is no emotional disposition that you could find that's natural in man that Yad this is going to satisfy. Because emotions are based on different types of phenomena, based upon your instincts and experiences. But Yad this is based on Enes. And therefore, Yad this is going to cut against emotions sooner or later. There's no individual disposition that you can have that would be in line with the Kol HaTorah. No such thing like that. Because Yadus, sometimes this emotion may find to satisfy, but then it's going to have difficulty over here. Because it's a system of God's infinite karma. So that's the problem. The problem is that people throughout the ages have tried to satisfy their emotions and be in line with Torah. And that's impossible. So it's very nice. You don't like this. You don't need this anymore. We're all philosophers. We're all going to do together. That's one kind of emotion. Or the other emotion will keep every technical thing, and that's why we're great people, because we do everything technically right. Another emotion. That's also wrong. Okay. Yahadus is a system which defines any kind of naturalistic satisfaction. And most people, even great philosophers, when you study their works, you'll find in the back of their mind, somehow or other, they're looking for something like that. I would say, I mentioned like even a person like Bertrand Russell, who was a great intellect. Great intellect, no question about it, great intellect. But if you really study his philosophy and his way of life, you'll see that underneath, by the way, I don't recommend you study, but underneath it, you'll see he was looking for some kind of natural philosopher existence. And it doesn't exist. Okay, just like that, who was that naturalist in New York? Rachel Cross is one. There's another one that was in New Guinea. She studied Margaret Mead was looking for a natural society where people are friendly and happy and everything is wonderful. Yeah. So she went to these remote areas, New Guinea, various areas. And she found the society, but then they found out it was mainly in her mind. Society she constructed was the society that she found. It wasn't true, and people are always looking. That's a tremendous desire man has, to look for the natural existence, where you don't have any conflict or any difficulty. We're just in line with our nature. We accept our nature as a gift. That you have a system. That's the difficult. That's the difficulty that Yadus always has, because it doesn't appeal to any kind of natural. Avodah Zarah appeals to the natural, inclination. If you say, give you total security, and this, and that, this, everything's fine. Yadus is that's the struggle of Yadus. But that's what the Ramban is pointing out. That neither way is correct. You may have a tendency to think I'll be a halachic person and then I'm satisfied with what God demands of me. Or the other way also. Get rid of these mitzvahs and I'll be a philosopher. Either way is just an emotional attitude. Yadus is doesn't satisfy either emotion. Yeah. No, it's correct. No, what the Rabban is saying, that's true. That is something that a person, that's preachers, which means to say, that especially in this society, I think that's an important message, that people in this, what the Rabban is saying is a serious matter. In other words, that a person, even if you take the form of a person in this society, but if you give them their luxuries, they'll never stop, they'll never turn them down. You understand? Because everybody says, it's good, it's more convenient, it's good. What the Rabban is saying is that there has to be a point where a person has to say to himself, this luxury is absurd. As a human being, it really doesn't serve me in any way. And my engaging in the enjoyment of this luxury is just taking my energies away from more important things. You see? I mean, that's what the Ramban is saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, what the Ramban is saying, that an individual like Einstein, who said he didn't want to wear socks because he wouldn't be bothered with the torn sock. I mean, he's right, that's correct. In other words, a person, an intelligent person, will come to the realization that the world's luxuries that they set forth for man are not based on any realistic assessment of what man needs. It's simply a fantasy, an illusion, and a desire for satisfaction because the person is frustrated and they keep on thinking they're going to satisfy the frustration with this next luxury, with this little thing, with that little thing. So it's a path, it's a destructive path. I'm fond of saying the person will say, so this is it, I've got everything I need, and this one on me, and I'm not interested in it. Okay? That's what the Ramban is saying. And that's really the philosophy of the other side. And if a person can't turn down a luxury at any point, then there's something wrong. Something seriously wrong with the person. Okay? Yeah. That's the person, Kedushan. That's the Ramban is saying, that in that way you emulate God. That's how you emulate, that's how the person emulates the Creator. Because insofar as is humanly possible, he's modeling himself after the Creator that is total chachma and emes. That's what it means. Man can do that. Man, then he's close to God. Okay?
Tadi?
Yeah?
Point to Ramban's idea of this right, both in the Yasha Vatov and Kedosh and Tio. Is that supposed to happen? How is the person supposed to get that idea? How does he go beyond the halacha there?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. You know, how does the person go beyond the halacha? But the answer is that a person must have, and that's what you see from the Navi. The Navi, I think, expresses that idea more than anything else. That's why the Navi, people look at the Navi and say, the Navi doesn't sound like the Navi is about halacha. The Navi is not interested in the halacha. The whole Navim are interested is in showing what is justice and what is righteousness and beyond the halacha. Beyond the halacha. So a person has to be a chacham and a philosopher and understand accurately what the ideas of justice are and what the ideas of emes are. What the person has to have certain knowledge of that. But the person has to know. The Torah will give the individual guidelines through which they can arrive at those ideas. But those ideas must be known per se. You have to know they're just per se. What is just and what is not just. If a person never saw Torah but had a correct idea of what justice is and lived in line with justice, they'd be a very great individual. What does the prophet say about Avraham Avinu? It says, Mamash Yitzhakas, Bono, Vishma, Zerachar Hashem, Lassos, Dako Mishpat. So what does it mean? It's Avraham Avinu understood what Dako Mishpat is. He understood what it is. Exactly. You had to grasp what the idea is and you lived in accordance with that. There's no question about it. That Yahadis demands that a person understand what Tzedakah Mishpat is. And essentially what Tzedakah Mishpat is it's a logical path that a person sees when they remove every emotional inclination. In other words, people distort justice because a force is distorting what the mind can see. But if you remove, that's really part of the precepts. The precepts means that by removing the distorting, that which distorts reality, the individual will be able to see what justice really is and how to act and how to live justice. Because justice is something that the person can perceive. Okay?